All right, Luke chapter number 3. Luke chapter number 3. Luke, the third chapter. Luke chapter number 3. And we want to stay relevant to what is transpiring here today. Luke chapter 3. And we want you to find verse 21 and verse 22. Luke chapter 3, verse 21 and verse 22. Thank God we can pray. And it's all because of Christ. Luke chapter 3. I want you to look at verse 21 and verse number 22. It says, "Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased." This morning the sermon is entitled, "What Shall You Do Now?" What shall you do now? Let's get some help. Father, thank you for the service that we've been able to experience thus far. Father, thank you for all of these who followed. Father, your Son, in believers' baptism, Father, thank you for how they declared what has already taken place in their hearts, an outward manifestation of an inward work. And Father, we remember when your Son was upon this earth, he was baptized, not to be saved, but to identify with the kingdom. Father, they were baptized, not to be saved, but to identify with your Son, Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. But then, Father, there are more people here today than those who have been baptized. So, Father, I pray that you would speak to each and every heart here. You know what we all need. Father, help this to be a time of examination. Help it to be a time of rededication, a time of commitment, a time of you're doing a great work in our lives individually and collectively. Have your way, save any that's lost in this building today, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as I've already even mentioned in my prayer, and you can see it here in the reading of the text in verse 21 and verse number 22 of the third chapter of the book of Luke, you have the Lord Jesus Christ who was baptized. Now, he wasn't the only person who was baptized there. Matter of fact, all of the individuals who were around that had come for baptism, John had baptized, except for some, because if you have to tie in another passage, he said that they would have to bring forth fruits meet for repentance. And so John was trying to make sure and was going to make sure that they had the evidence of someone being saved before he would even baptize them. And by the way, that's what we should do. We should make sure that someone is saved before they even follow the Lord and believe his baptism, because baptism is for believers. And so Jesus got baptized, not, of course, for him to demonstrate that he was saved. He got baptized because he was identifying with the kingdom that he was presenting at that time. Jesus, of course, did not need to be saved, because the Bible teaches us he's the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the beginning and he is the completer of our faith. But this message today, I'm making more of an application sermon. It's an expository sermon. I'm drawing my points from here, but I'm making some applications as we constantly do from the Word of God. And so this message will help all of us, because what was going on here is that Jesus was at the point to where now he is walking in obedience, full obedience, not that he wasn't before, but he's about to begin his messianic ministry, and he's now walking in obedience to his heavenly Father. And so he was baptized, identifying himself with the kingdom, and his heavenly Father said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Do you know when we are walking in obedience to God, he is well pleased? That means this message literally is for those who have just been baptized, but it's also for those who have rededicated their lives to Christ. It's also for those who have been saved for a short period of time, maybe a year, 2 years, even just a few months. It's also for those who've been saved for a number of years, a long time. It's also for those who are serious about serving God, it's for those who have made decisions to soul win and to serve God. And so now the question arises, once we are beginning to walk in obedience and doing what we're supposed to do and have a certain event that takes place, whether it's saying I'm going to start winning souls, or whether it's saying I'm going to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, or whether it's saying I'm going to serve the Lord more, rededicate my life more, or you're giving your life to Christ. The question is, what should you do now? Now, what should you do? I'm going to give you five things that you should do now. Number one, let the Spirit of God lead you. Notice Luke chapter 4. We won't read the genealogical table here, but look at it in the latter part of verse number 3. But look at chapter 4, verse 1. Watch this. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. In other words, after Jesus was baptized, after he had did that which pleased the Father, now he's allowing the Holy Spirit to guide him, to lead him. Jesus said later in John 16 and verse 13, and he said, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth." See, once we have made commitments to the Lord, then we need to let the Spirit of God lead us. That means we need to be praying, "Lord, what is it that you want me to do with my life?" And by the way, that should be the prayer of every child of God. "Lord, what is it that you would have me to do?" And follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And that's from the youngest to the oldest. Young Sam was 10 years old. He needs to be praying, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" And I'm not giving anybody else's age. But from the youngest to the oldest, well, you ought to be praying, and all of us ought to be praying, "Lord, what is that you have me to do?" And follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Listen, if young Josiah and if young Samuel could follow God at a young age, you and I can follow God. And see, when we are walking in obedience and allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us, we are pleasing our Heavenly Father. And when we are pleasing our Heavenly Father, guess what? He's going to bless our lives and lead us in the path of blessings. That means that as an individual, you need to let the Holy Spirit lead you to your friends. Because see, your friends will either take you up or they'll bring you down. See, you may say, "Well, I don't have a good Christian friend." Pray, seek God's face, follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And even as I believe Brother Larry was saying in Sunday school this morning, I believe it was, if not, they correct me because I heard it somewhere, that he that has friends must show himself friendly. Did you say that in Sunday school? All right, so that means that, hey, we should literally be praying and asking God to lead you to the right friends, to the right job so you can serve him in the right way to walk before God. Don't follow your own heart because your own heart will lead you astray. But see, follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit and let him lead you in your life. I wish I could stay on that one longer, but I have four more that I've got to touch this morning. What should you do now? Number one, let the Spirit of God lead you. Secondly, realize the devil is coming after you. Realize the devil is coming after you. Luke chapter 4, verse 2a. It says, "Being 40 days tempted of the devil." When did the devil come? And you see him here in scriptures in the Lord's life. If you cast out the person that we know who was behind him trying to destroy the Lord when he was a baby, I'm talking about now that he has been baptized, now that he has identified with the kingdom, now that he has the smile of his Father upon him, now that he has been received the anointing of the Holy Spirit in his life. Now what happens? The devil is coming after him. And by the way, for those who have made commitments to Christ, look out, the devil is coming after you. Let me tell you something, and this can help you out because sometimes it'll hurt believers if they don't understand what's going on. Sometimes a person can get saved, and after they get saved, seem like things just start going on in their lives. And more than one time I've heard a person say, well, you know, I wasn't having a lot of trouble before I got saved, but seemed like after I got saved, seemed like all kind of stuff is happening. Well, what's happening is before you got saved, the devil had you. But now that you trusted Christ, so whenever that happens, now he no longer has you. So now you become a threat and no longer an ally. And what do you do to those who are no longer allies and those who are threats to your kingdom? You've got to try to do something to disarm them, disrupt them, discourage them, cause them to be dismayed. And so a lot of times he will begin to throw things your way to try to get you discouraged, and discouragement can lead to despondency. And when that happens, you can find yourself on the mountaintop today, but in the valley tomorrow. But see, what you've got to understand is that when the devil comes after you, God can give you the victory. My Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And the devil will come after you. He may try to cause something negative to happen in your life. By the way, it could even happen today. Some of you may have made a commitment to say, I'm going to be a soul winner. I mean, I'm really going to share Christ with other people. And then all of a sudden, things start going awry. Finances seem like they just go all out of whack. Maybe you have problems with your car. Maybe something else happens. And if you're not careful, what can happen is you can lose. You can lose your focus because that's what he wants. He doesn't want you focusing in on God. You can lose your focus, start thinking about the negative things, and then forget what God is trying to do in your life. I'm going to tell this story because it happened here about a week ago. I think it was about a week, maybe a little less or a little more, but somewhere in that time frame. I was out here at the church doing a little work. And here's what I'm saying. Negative stuff can happen. We have to stay focused. I was out here doing a little work, and I was just kind of squirting the parking lot, getting some grass, you know, some grass. I'm just squirting it. And then our son, Brother Seth, called, and he said, I believe I left my computer in the church. And so I ran, he was at work, and so I went inside, and I had, one of those big containers, got the pump on it that you can put down there and round up or whatever. And so I set it on the church parking lot, came on the inside. And then found his computer, and I told him I have it. And then when I was going back out, I noticed a car was on the lower end of the parking lot. Now, we had men who were up here on the building putting a new roof on. I ought to give God the praise for that, amen. but putting a new roof on, amen. And I noticed a car was pulling off real slow. And when he made his turn, I noticed my weed killer was gone. So I had a gospel track in my pocket and a pen. And I bet I wanted him to see me. I didn't try to do it incognito. I wanted him to see me. And so I bent over like that so he could see me. And I was riding slow and keeping my eye on him. He left the lower parking lot and started going down 17th. And he stopped close to that stop sign. And then he started backing up. And then he started backing up. When he got into the entrance to come into the lower parking lot, I said, that's mine. I didn't see him take it, but I knew he had it. Because things just don't disappear on their own. And so he pulled up into the parking lot. And by the way, men on the building. And pulled up into the parking lot. And I walked over. Now, what he said could have gotten me really, really upset. Because he said, you shouldn't be leaving stuff like this out on the parking lot. Now he's stealing my stuff and saying I shouldn't have left it out here on the parking lot. Enemy. You know what I did? I took it from him. I'm not going to get in an argument with him. I took it from him, put it on the parking lot, got a gospel tract. Amen. And I told him, I said, listen, this will show you how to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior and so forth, and told him, I want to invite you out to church. But in fact, I scanned the congregation to see if he was here, because if he was here, I wouldn't have told this story. But since he's not here, amen, I'm going to tell the story. And so I gave him a gospel tract and invited him out to church. Now, I could have just jumped up and down and fussed and screamed and so forth. But the reason why he did what he did is because he doesn't know the same Savior that I know. But if he got saved, he could become a brother instead of a bother. See, the devil will come after you. Anytime you're trying to commit, anytime you're trying to do something, anytime you're saying, look, this is what we're going to do, he will try to come after you, but don't you let him discourage you. Realize that it's him, and then you determine, I'm going to do more for God than I've been doing before. After a while, he say, you know something? I better not push her too far. I better not push him too far, because the more I push him, the more they do. After a while, he'll leave you for a season. Realize the devil is coming after you. Realize he's coming after you. And by the way, you don't have to fight the devil. You don't. My Bible says in James chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, it says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. It says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Listen, the more you just draw nigh to God and you resist the devil, the Bible says he'll take off after a while. Now, by the way, he'll show up again. But you just keep doing what you're supposed to do. You don't get away from God. You don't back up from God. You get as close to God as you can, and God will work things out. What should you do now? Number one, let the Spirit of God lead you. Secondly, realize the devil is coming after you. Number three, don't allow anyone to cause you to doubt who and what you are. I'm going to say it again. Don't allow anyone to cause you to doubt who and what you are. Notice Luke chapter 4, verse 3. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. I want to focus on that first part. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God. See, regardless of what the devil tries to tell you, you are a child of God if you have repented and received Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. Now, we are not all God's children. We are all a part of God's creation, but we are not a part of all of God's. We are not all of God's children. How do you become God's child? You have to repent of your sin. What does that mean? Just change your mind and your attitude and your heart concerning the direction in which you're going. And say, you know something, I'm not going to continue to go down this road of sin anymore. You're making a 180 degree turn and saying, I'm following you, Lord. I'm giving my life to you. I am yours. Forgive me, save me, cleanse me. And when you do that, praise God, a great transaction takes place. And he can save your soul and will save your soul. And right after you're first saved, oh man, you feel good on the inside. You're excited. But you can be saved for years. And all of a sudden, the devil will come up and try to make you doubt that you're saved. And if you're a young convert, he can try to come to you. Maybe you said something you shouldn't have said. And you feel bad about it. He'll slip right up beside you and see, you're not saved. If you were saved, you would not have gotten angry. If you're saved, you would not have said that. And all of a sudden you feel, well, maybe I'm not saved. And then you begin to feel bad on the inside. And see, he knows if he can start getting you to doubt your salvation, then it'll discourage you. And after a while, you'll start backing off on some things. He'll say, if you then You know what you ought to say? Give him an if. He said, if you were saved, you wouldn't have lost your temper. You know what you can say? Well, the Bible says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Don't you know, child of God? By the way, I'm not saying that it's okay to lose your temper. But if the truth be known, since you've been saved, Mr. Ma'am, you've lost your temper. I need to give an altar call. You have lost your temper since you've been saved. Not a person here can tell me you have not been above 212 degrees. Boiling temperature. You can't tell me that you haven't reached to where you have lost your temper. If you tell me that, I'm gonna go talk to your wife. I'm gonna go talk to your husband. I'm gonna talk to your mother. I'm gonna talk to your kids. Then we'll have something getting right. Amen. Don't allow anyone to cause you to doubt who and what you are. Let me give you a verse. John chapter 1, verse 12. Don't turn there. It says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Listen, when you trusted Christ, you became God's son, his daughter. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let me ask you a question by the amen this morning. Can you remember a point in time in your life when you asked Christ to save you? Amen. All right then, and that means you are God's child. Let me ask you a question. Did your life change? All right, then you are God's child. Then don't let the devil cause you to doubt that you're a child of God, or doubt that heaven is real, or doubt that the rapture is going to take place, or doubt that your service and sacrifice for God will be rewarded. It will be. Don't let him cause you to doubt, because as I've said, doubt brings discouragement. And by the way, I don't want to build up his testimony too much. Don't you allow yourself to doubt. If you're saved. If you're saved. And if you have repented and trusted Christ, then heaven is your home. You're a child of the King. And don't let anybody cause you to doubt who and what you are. What should you do now? I said, number one, let the Spirit of God lead you. Number two, realize the devil is coming after you. Number three, don't allow anyone to cause you to doubt who and what you are. And by the way, and I don't even know who I'm speaking, and I just pulled something out when I just said temper. But do you want to know how you can get control of something? Get into this book right here. Feed the spirit man. See, Paul said, the flesh lusteth. That word lust means to war against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Who's ever the strongest, that's going to be the one who's going to be leading. I just came up with an illustration, but I started to use it, but I don't think I will, because I might lose. But just imagine this. You could have somebody who's strong, arm wrestle. Now you know why. Who's ever the strongest will be the one that's going to take the other person down. You understand what I'm saying? The other person down. When you got saved, the Holy Spirit came to live on the inside of you. But that old nature is still there. It wasn't eradicated. So that means you have to feed the new nature. And you feed the new nature, after a while, it'll become strong enough to where when that old nature starts to rise up, the new nature can put it back down. Paul said it this way. Paul said, I keep under my body. What does he mean? I literally have to beat it back down. He said, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself might become a castaway. Didn't mean he'd lose his salvation, or dokimos in the Greek, which means disapproved. He said, God just had to put me on the shelf and can't use me. So Paul said, I have to constantly beat this down. And if you don't think you have to beat it down, then you let somebody blow their horn about 1 second after the light changes. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay, you have to be that. And so whoever is the strongest. You know, I like to watch sports, and it just came to me, and some of you will identify and some won't. I like to watch sports. I remember I've seen a commercial a couple of times where you've got everybody in this one town, and they've got a big arm. How many of you have seen that slip your hand in the air? All right, the majority of you in here. They're only working on this big arm, and this one's all small, but they're going to settle it the usual way. You understand what I'm saying? Get this. The spirit man ought to be like that. See, if you're going to continue to go on, don't feed this one over here. Just let it stay the same size. But keep working this one. So that when something comes up in your life, a temptation or a test or a trial, you've got enough over here to where you can bring it down. If the enemy comes at you, you've got enough through the Holy Spirit to and get out the way and let the Lord take over. Resist and get out of there. What should you do now? Here's the fourth thing. Don't allow yourself to be led into false doctrine. Don't allow yourself to be led into false doctrine. Look at Luke chapter 4 and verse number 4. Luke chapter 4, verse 4. It says, and Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, watch this, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. See, we need to have the word of God on the inside of us that can give us the strength to be able to do what we need to do. But there are those who will use that and will try to get you off into false doctrine once they know that you know a little bit about the word. Now, of course, we know that the Lord Jesus Christ, he do the word, he's the living word. But after he quoted that scripture, now the devil, by the way, has his ministers, the Bible says. Now he's going to start quoting some scripture to try to get him to do something, and false doctrine will do that. Notice verse 9 down through verse number 11. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. See, what he did was he was quoting from the Old Testament, but he was twisting the scriptures. Because the scriptures teach, yes, he will give his angels charge concerning thee, but he left part out, to keep thee in all of thy ways. He left that part out. So he tried to take a scripture and twist it to get the Lord to do something that he should not be doing. And see, once a person commits to the Lord, you will find out false doctrine, people with false doctrine will be coming out the woodworks, trying to get you to do something. Once you have gotten saved or rededicated your life and you're walking in obedience, whatever it is, the false doctrine crowd will come after you. After I gave my life to Christ, the Jehovah's Witness came after me. On board ship. They told me only 144,000 people are going to heaven. Man, I had the joy of God in my soul. I'd been saved. And they came and said, oh, that's only 144,000 people going to heaven. And I started calculating. I said, 144,000. I said, with all these preachers and so, at that time, I was just, what even say? And by the way, just because somebody's a preacher doesn't mean that they're going to heaven. But I said, 144,000. I said, I don't know if I'm going to be able to get in. If that's all that's there. And I didn't know how to handle the scrub. Just a new babe in Christ. And but they're coming out after me. Man, I had the joy in my soul and I knew that I was saved. But now I feel like, man, I'm going to have to do something to make sure. Thank God he put the right people in my life to help me out. I had the Mormons coming after me. I had a man who came up. Matter of fact, now I'm back off the ship. Back off the ship. And I had a man come up to me. I was on board ship for 5 months. Back off the ship. And a man came up to me and he said I was at my place and still in the Marine Corps there in Jacksonville. And knocked on the door, opened it up. He said, listen, we want to come in and talk to you about the Savior. I'm excited. I said, come on in. They came on in. Next thing they were telling me about Joseph Smith. And I realized, not the same Savior I know. And by the way, now, hey, I've gotten some teaching. Now I've been discipled. I told them they can leave. By the way, that's what you're supposed to do. Amen. Hey, I've had those who try to teach you have to be baptized a certain way in order to be saved. You haven't come out. You have the deeper experienced people who will try to come after you and tell you've got to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues or you hadn't got it. That's not scriptural. In fact, the Bible says if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're not his. At the moment that you believe, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Ephesians tells us. At the moment you trusted Christ, the Holy Spirit came to live on the inside of you. So people will try to tell them, but don't allow yourself to be led away into false doctrine. Here's the last one. What should you do? I said, number one, let the Spirit of God lead you. Number two, realize the devil's coming after you. Number three, don't allow anyone to cause you to doubt who or what you are. Number four, don't allow yourself to be led into false doctrine. And here's the last one. Determine in your heart that you are going to worship and serve God. Determine in your heart that you're going to worship and serve God. Notice Luke chapter 4, verse 8. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Don't let the devil or anyone he uses stop you from worshiping and serving God. Because he will. He'll try to do something to keep you from serving God. I shared this past Wednesday night. The other gentleman, Simeon, 61 years old, that had gotten saved after I'd given him a gospel tract when I was on my way back from South Carolina. And I spoke with him again last Saturday. And he told me, he said he was telling the people that he's not going to lay out of church. In other words, any time that he is there, he's going to be in church. If he's not in church, you know he's out of town is what he would tell him. He said, I'm not going to be one of these CME Christians. I told people, well, it's not. I said, you heard of AME, African Methodist Episcopal. He said, I'm not going to be one of them CME Christians. He said, that's what he told them. At the church, he said, people who come to church on Christmas, Mother's Day, and Easter. He said, I'm not going to be one of those. But you remember how I told you right after he got saved. And he said he was so excited, he wanted to tell somebody. And so he just went and told somebody, that's before he called me that later on that night, and told him how he got saved, and now he's going to start attending church and all of that. And they said, listen, the Bible says where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. You don't have to be going to church like what you're talking about. And he said, I had to get away from that person. Remember me telling that story? Here is the key. And by the way, I told him, I said, that's just the enemy. Coming out. That's exactly what I told him. I said, that's the enemy. That's the way he works. Listen, you know what you got to do? You got to determine in your heart that you're going to worship and serve God. Listen, stay faithful to church. I'm talking about faithful. Stay close to the Lord. Read his word. Worship him. Serve him. Give him your life. What should you do now? Let the Spirit of God lead you. Realize the devil's coming after you. Don't allow anyone to cause you to doubt who or what you are. Don't allow yourself to be led into false doctrine. And then determine in your heart that you're going to worship and serve God. And God will be able to say of your life, this is my beloved son. This is my beloved daughter in whom I am well pleased. Let's bow for prayer.